Good morning. It is Tuesday, August the 13th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And you know what Tuesday means, don't you? We know by now. It means tacos. Taco Tuesday. So you might start plotting your coordinates now that somewhere along the way. I know that's what I'm going to do. Even my mom has gotten on board with this. She called me already and said, "We're going to have tacos tonight. Can you come over?" She called me Señor Walt. "Hola," she said. And you know what I said back? "Dios te bendiga." Which you'll remember from our Duolingo post a few weeks ago means God bless you. And of course, the response is igualmente. Dios te bendiga. Maybe Tuesdays could become a day when we just start praying for Mexico. We start praying for great awakening in Mexico. And you know, maybe even by proxy, or not proxy, but by extension, the Hispanic population in the United States. Those are some praying people. And we want to join their prayers for great awakening. So, all of that leads us in an interesting way to consecrate ourselves on this Tuesday before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord of North America, Central America, and South America. He doesn't even see all those names. I mean, he loves these countries, but he just sees his people in need of his Son. So, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Yes, Jesus, I belong to you. Just let that word alone sink in. Jesus, I belong to you today. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the church said, Amen. Our text, our entry today is entitled, The Perilous Power of Perfect Storms. Our text is Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Nor'easter swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. The story of Scripture and the church is filled with perfect storms. By this, I mean the collision of chaos and circumstance, where our panic meets the providence of God. Think about it. It was a storm, a perfectly timed storm that led to Jonah being thrown overboard on the ship bound for Tarsus. Remember, the whale dispatched him to Nineveh. I hope you read the desperation in the tone of today's text. Note especially the closing words. Actually, we'll see those words tomorrow. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. That's where we're headed. That's exactly what a perfect storm does. It brings us to a place where we have nothing left. You've perhaps heard the saying, you will never know God is all you need until you know God is all you have. It's a place we never choose to go. We must be taken there. Whether the storm be caused by Satan or the Spirit matters not. All that matters is coming to the humble place of pure dependence on God. Yes, often it's only the perfect storm of cancer or addiction or betrayal or a prodigal child or a divorce or a thousand other unchosen circumstances that bring us face to face with our utter inability to change the situation and God's inestimable power to save, come what may. Were it not for another of these perfect storms, we would likely have never heard from the apostle whose movement saved England and most shaped America, John Wesley. It was aboard the Simmons, a ship bound from England to America, when he penned these words in his journal, Sunday, January the 25th, 1736. At noon, our third storm began. At 4, it was more violent than before. At 7, I went to the Germans. I had long before observed the great seriousness of their behavior. Of their humility, they had given a continual proof by performing those servile offices for the other passengers, which none of the English would undertake, for which they desired and would receive no pay, saying it was good for their proud hearts, and their loving Savior had done more for them, and every day had given them an occasion of showing a meekness which no injury could move. If they were pushed, struck, or thrown down, they rose again and went away, but no complaint was found in their mouth. There was now an opportunity of trying whether they were delivered from the spirit of fear, as well as from that of pride, anger, and revenge. In the midst of the psalm wherewith their service began, the sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans calmly sang on. I asked one of them afterward, "Were you not afraid?" He answered, "I thank God, no." I asked, "But were not your women and children afraid?" He replied mildly, "No, our women and children are not afraid to die." Wesley, at the time an almost Christian, couldn't get this scene out of his mind. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans calmly sang on. After an abysmal failure, at least in my humble opinion, as a missionary to America, Wesley returned to England, where his first move was to visit Herrnhut, the village from which those Moravian Germans had come. The rest, as they say, is history and a story for another time. Chances are, if you haven't experienced your perfect storm yet, it will come. Perhaps you face it now. Don't be afraid. Only believe. And stay tuned. Tomorrow's entry will prove the point. The prayer of transformation. We want to be transformed from being like those English on that ship to being like those Moravian Germans, don't we? Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you, which means that I must have you. Really? No, Lord, it means you must have me. To that end, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Yes, Jesus, I receive those words of yours. Don't be afraid. Only believe. And I release my chaotic inner storm that threatens to undo me. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that I might become the very love of God. Yes, so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father, amen. In our journal prompts today, have you faced your perfect storm yet? Are you facing it now? How did and how is God meeting you? And how might you encourage someone else facing their perfect storm? We're going to sing a hymn today. It's a classic hymn. It's the one we don't sing very much. It goes all the way back to 1890. Trevor Francis. It's called, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. I love the lyrics. I love the melody. These two songs go together. The hymn tune, interestingly, is called Ebenezer. We're going to sing all three verses here in just a minute. I want to get you alerted to it. It's page 121. I was so happy to see this get landed in our hymnal, our great Redeemer's Praise, 121. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. And I think I chose it because that is the only thing deeper than the horrific storms in the deeps, the deep waters of life. So we'll sing that in a minute, but as we get there, I just want to encourage you These storms, I know, they're raging. And they can seem to go on and on and on. And just like that ship, you know, we may make a wrong decision. The owner and the captain of the ship, you know, they didn't listen to counsel. And next thing you know, they're like, did you get that picture? They're like sending ropes. I'm trying to picture how they did this. How do you get a rope from being on board the ship to go under the ship and up the other side? They're sending ropes to try to hold the ship together. That's such a picture. I just see myself, you know, in the rearview mirror of my life, just doing that same thing, really, sending the ropes underneath and back up, trying to hold things together in the midst of a storm that's just tearing everything apart. And then after that, you know, they throw down the anchor. There's a northeaster is coming on them, a hurricane. And they're dragging the anchor, just trying to slow them down. This is a disaster, and it's going to go on. And that's kind of how Acts is going to end, interestingly. We'll get through this, but it's going to take the rest of the week, I think, probably. We got a week-long shipwreck ahead of us here. And I know that's how some of us are feeling right now, our life. That's where we are. We need to pray for each other. We need to hold each other's hands up. We need to travail. This is where you're driven to the place of travailing before the Lord, that place of desperation. And He's watching. He's with us. He's helping. He's guiding. The amazing thing is that even if we lose this battle, Jesus is going to win the war. He's already won it. That resurrection we camped out around yesterday, that's our hope. So we're going to sing. Are you ready? All three verses. This is what gets us through. These are the ropes we need. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to my glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, spread His praise from shore to shore. How He loveth, ever loveth, changeth never, never more. How He watches o'er His loved ones, died to call them all His own. How for them He intercedeth, watcheth o'er them from the throne. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love the best. 'Tis an ocean vast of blessing, 'tis a haven sweet of rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, 'tis a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to thee. Amen. What a hymn. Golly. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. It is a heaven of heavens to me. Golly. That's the waters we're swimming in today, guys. We're swimming in the deep, deep love of Jesus. He is here now with us, in us, through us. Go out in that confidence today to sow for a great awakening. I'll see you on the field for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.